Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, when I walked into your church, listen, this is good. I just thought of this. I am so old that all those pictures you have on the wall, I've seen most of those people in person. I'm going to preach one of their sermons this morning. No, I didn't meet him in person. He's like, way, whatever. The first song I'm going to play today is When I Was Little. Now, you know, that was almost 73 years ago, okay? And the church that I was in, the pastor was a traveling companion of Smith Wigglesworth. Wow. You got his picture up there in that room, okay?
Yes.
Okay. So when we'd sing this song in church, and you know, in those days, we'd sing a song 150 times, at least, right. At least. We'd just sing it until whatever we were singing happened,
right.
You know. This will fit in the sermon. This will fit in the sermon, this song will. And when we used to sing this song, I mean, people would leave crutches at the altar, tumors would drop off of them, blind eyes would open, and deaf ears would open.
Amen.
Well, there's no reason for you to wait. You ought to just let it happen during this song. You ought to just let it happen now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where did it go? There it is. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. When I see the blood. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed, blessed, blessed. I don't think that's a good idea. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may be seated. That'd be wonderful. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Those of you, just for the fun of it, I'll tell you. Okay, I'm getting a little, I'm good, right? Just for the fun of it, the violin. You know, I put it up here. I like to put it on pulpits like that, but it's not quite enough room there. So, long story short, the violin's worth $200,000. I got it at an auction for $10,000. They told me it was worth $5,000. Then in 21 days, they called me back and told me it was worth $200,000. And when they told me, a lady sent me a check for $10,000. So, you know, if you need something really big, you just ask God for it. He'll work it out. He'll work it out. He'll work it out. You know? Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. There is a story in the book of Luke where Jesus was preaching to a lot of people. And some men knew a man that was very crippled. He had to be carried around. It's in Luke chapter 5. And it was so crowded, though, where Jesus was teaching. They were a little late, and they couldn't get in. It was too crowded. They couldn't get in the door. They couldn't get up the aisle. It was just too crowded. So they really wanted their friend to be healed. So they just cut a hole in the roof and dropped him down. And when they dropped him down, their idea was, we just want him to walk. We want him to get healed. We've seen Jesus do this. He heals people.
Right.
Crippled people walk and blind people see. And so they thought, if we could just get close enough to him, we could just get close enough. You know, we don't have to do that today. He lives right here.
Yes.
You know, the sermon I'm going to read to you is a John G. Lake sermon, and the title of it is Christ Liveth in You.
Amen.
You don't have to tear a hole in any roof. You don't have to fight your way through a crowd. You don't have to beg it to touch you. He is right here. Christ liveth in you.
Amen.
So here he comes, and Jesus sees him. And he says, your sins be forgiven you. Now, I heard a man preaching this on the radio, and you know what he said? He didn't even read the rest of that chapter. He just said, you know what? You don't always get what you want.
Wow.
What? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Wow.
Hey, what Jesus was saying to the man, I need to get that man's phone number. What Jesus was saying to the man, your sins be forgiven you, was this whole thing is a package deal. It all came at the same time. When I went to the cross, I paid for your healing, and I paid for your sins to be forgiven. That's why I wanted This is why I wanted to play, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Have you been given a death sentence by the doctor? Have you just been given a sick sentence? The rest of your life, you're going to be sick. You know, I had one of those sentences from the doctors. Ta-da. The word of God works. The word works. It works. It works. So what Jesus, and then finally Jesus said, when he saw, when he said, your sins be forgiven, and he heard a little rumble in the crowd, he said, what's easier? Your sins be forgiven or rise up, take that bed and walk. It's the same. It came at the same time. It's in the same package, and Christ lives in you. Now, in 2012, I had a medical accident. A doctor injured me during a very simple surgery, and the thing that made it so bad was afterwards, the doctor obviously knew what she did, and so she backed away to see if the situation would take care of itself, and instead, for 4 days, I leaked blood and urine in the trunk of my body so that I was almost dead by the fourth day, by the time that somebody really realized I was in trouble. I knew I was in trouble. I was very drugged, and I wasn't able to speak up for myself. So as a result, I needed 9 surgeries in less than 90 days. And at the end of that, I was about ready for hospice. There was no hope. But let me tell you something that I didn't tell you earlier today, when I spoke earlier, and it's this. I made 2 decisions when I found out what had happened. I found out that the doctor had been dishonest with me. Has anybody ever been cheated or done wrong? I think maybe there might be 1 or 2 here. Okay. All right. So this is real important for you to listen to this, especially if you're sick or if you need something in your life. Most of us need something. We need something. You know, if our bodies don't need to be healed, our checkbook might need to be healed. If that doesn't need to be healed, then something else does. Maybe our attitude needs to be healed, okay? But most of us need some kind of healing, all right? So I knew the doctor had been dishonest with me, and I knew I hadn't been treated right, and the hospital had obviously neglected because they were afraid to do something without the doctor, so forth and so on. So step one, when I find out what had happened, I said, I forgive. I said, I forgive. Now, oh, but let me tell you what I hear sometimes. I just can't do it. I've tried. Okay, look, you can do it. You do it by faith. Yes. Just because you're still hurting, it doesn't mean you haven't forgiven.
Right.
Okay? Yes. It's just because you're still hurting. That's okay. Today, Jesus will heal the hurt. I'll show you how to receive that healing of the hurt. Okay, but that doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. If you ask Jesus to help you forgive, you forgave. Right. It's a faith thing. Okay, it's a faith thing. Okay, the second thing that I chose to do was no fear.
Amen.
I decided that even though, yes, I decided that even though I was in a life-threatening situation, a minister... Very successful healing. I've seen people come out of wheelchairs, blind eyes open, people with just white balls here in their eyes. I've seen color come in and their sight. I saw all that, and I'm in big trouble now in the hospital, okay? But I was not going to be afraid.
Amen.
Now, I have studied fear. You know, there's a few things there's a lot of things you know how to do that I don't know how to do. I don't know how to get to your church unless I get in a car with somebody else right now. That I couldn't do it. I mean, well, maybe with my Google Maps or Apple Siri, I could probably do it. But there's a lot of things you can do I can't do, okay? So I say this very humbly, but I've studied fear and I understand it. And I will tell you this. It is a choice separate from a spirit of fear that might have a hold of you. And I could just explain to you by faith how... Anything that's got a hold of you, I can explain to you by faith from the Word of God how to walk out of it, how to get those claws off of you and walk out of it. Now, today, it could happen different to you. If a spirit of fear is attached to you or any kind of spirit attached to your life in this atmosphere, when I start teaching the Word of God here and showing you some principles, just the anointing will come and set you free.
Amen.
Okay. So that's the gifts of healing and working of miracles. That's going to happen here, right here in this church.
Amen.
probably already starting when I play the, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Some of you, the pain's already leaving and you don't even know it. You haven't even checked it, you know. So no fear. The Bible says, fear not, or something like, fear not, let not your heart be troubled, over 300 times in any translation. Over 300 times in any translation. Oral Roberts used to say it, said it 365 times for one each day of the year. He used to say that. So you decide that you're not going to be scared. Amen. Fear and faith fit in the same place in your spirit. Right. They fit in the same place. It's either got fear in there or faith in there. Now, you can squeeze that fear out by faith. How do you do that? You know, by hearing the word of God. Okay? So that's what's going to happen today. Like, you're going to hear the word of God. It's going to fill up that space where those doubts and fear are at. So, but you feed yourself the Bible every day. Feed yourself the word. You know, if I ask most of you, the vast majority, do you love Jesus? Of course you'd say yes. But that one that you love, do you spend time with him? Do you demonstrate your love to him by getting your Bible out and learning more about him? Your Bible is the best way to get to know him. Oh, but ma'am, I pray 10 hours a day. That's fine. Prayer is where you get your orders from him from. But to get to know him, the wow. Word of God. Yes. Knowledge about him comes from your Bible. Yes. And it might sound like dry information, but this information will save your life. The year before I was injured, the year before in January, which was almost exactly 12 months to the day, God told me that I better start reading my Bible a lot. And he worked it out, and I could tell you after church, I won't take the time to tell you now how I did it, speed reading. I read 100 pages a day, which means I read through the Bible every 18 days, which means I read 18 times through the King James Bible right before that doctor cut me. So I was full of God's word so that when, I had no idea the day was coming when I wouldn't even be able to read the doctor's name on the wall, much less my Bible, and that I would need 9 surgeries in less than 90 days. But I decided I would not be afraid and that I would speak the word of God. And if you could go back and look at the cell phone that I had, which I still have it in the closet, through all that time, I never, ever texted anybody or sent a message to anybody that said, I'm in trouble. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. Oh, the doctor did this. They did that. I just said, by his stripes, I'm healed. I hung on to that word of God, and that was it. And if you'll just do that, you know, go, well, I hope I don't get a bad, oh, I hope so. By his stripes, you're healed. By the wounds of Jesus that he took on his back, you're healed. And you know what? If you, right now, those of you that have had old back injuries or any kind of injuries in your back or deteriorating bones in your back is beginning right now to regenerate and be healed right now. Because backs are the easiest thing I see Jesus healing. Wow. That's where he took his stripes on his back. Just be healed. Just take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So time goes on, and I'm dying. Extremely difficult time. My son was about ready to pick out a hospice, and I received a phone call from my spiritual mother, and she said, I need to read you this sermon. It's a John G. Lake sermon. And I know that you are supposed to hear it today, because I already knew this days ago, what I would bring to you. And when I walk in your door, John G. Lake's on the wall. So I knew I was supposed to bring this to you. And this is the sermon that I was read. Now, I'm extremely drugged. I am to the point of almost being delirious because I'm in the final stages of starvation. And that's what happens to your brain when you're down to bones, your skin. I was skin and bones, 30 pounds lighter than I am right now, and drugged a lot of drugs, especially the drug Dilaudid. I don't know if you recognize that name here, but in the United States, it is the highest form of pain medicine. It's a synthetic morphine, and I mean, it's a drug. So I'm very drugged, and my spiritual mother's reading this to me. And so I'm grasping for every thought I can try to retain. In the Chicago conference, I sat with an old lady one afternoon after meeting, and she told me of her woes and sicknesses. After a time, when she had grown somewhat still, I said, "Dear mother, how long have you been a Christian?" She replied, "Since I was a child." Then I tried to show her that God expected a development of him and his nature and the working and action of God in her in transforming power through the agency of the Holy Spirit. What John G. Lake is saying here, you should be a little more grown up by now.
Yes.
That's what he's saying to her. And then it says, and that there was a process of remaking and remolding that should change her nature and life and dissolve that rheumatics and Bright's disease and all her difficulties, just as truly as long ago, sin dissolved out of her soul. He's saying the same thing Jesus said to that man. So after the conversation had gone on to a proper point, I said, "Dear sister, anybody can see that Jesus dwells in your spirit." Her eyes were lovely and delightful. "Let your mind extend just a little bit. Let your thought comprehend that just as Jesus dwells in your spirit and also possesses your soul in exactly the same way he is possessing your blood and your kidneys and your old rheumatic bones, and that very same will happen in your bones when you realize that truth has happened in your spirit when you were converted at the altar." So that's what he's saying. It's a package deal. You're healed. Jesus really, 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 he really does live in you. Christ liveth in you. He lives in every cell of your body.
Yes.
He lives in every cell. When you break a bone, he lives in all the cells of that bone.
Wow.
And you know, I hear doctors say, "Wow, the human body is amazing." It's because Jesus lives in all those cells.
Wow.
You know, it's just the most simple concept.
Wow.
You really don't need anybody to touch you. I have a strong gift. There was a great faith teacher in the last century, and I was close to him, and the Lord has imparted from that great faith teacher a beautiful, strong gift of the laying on of hands. And I'm glad to stay all day and lay hands on you, but I'm teaching you something else here, okay?
Yes.
This is another healing principle besides that, okay? You don't really need that because he lives in every cell of your body. And that's really, you know, when John G. Lake said to her, "No," and she answered him. He told her all this stuff. And then she said, "Would you just lay hands on me so I can be healed?" He said all that to her, and that's what she said. And he said, "No, I want you to get well by realizing."
Wow.
And I look up in the dictionary. Actually, this morning, I looked another definition up. When you realize something, you become fully aware of it.
Yes.
I want you to realize that right now, that same Christ dwells in your spirit, and in that dwells in your spirit and your soul as your Savior, is in your bones and in your blood.
Hey.
And those of you that are having problem with sight, he's in every cell of your eyes. The healer, the miracle worker, you know that one. The miracle worker.
Jesus.
He lives in every cell.
Wow.
Now, presently the old lady stood up and she screamed, "My God, he is," and she got it. Now, I'm drugged, okay, and I'm trying to listen to this, and I'm trying to get it. And I can truly tell you, I can look back on it, and I don't remember very many sentences that my spiritual mother said to me. But I do remember hearing her. I can hear her voice right now reading the last sentence to me. And this is it. It said, "Christ has been," this is John G. Lake's closing statement for the sermon, "Christ liveth in me." Christ had been imprisoned in her soul and spirit as her Savior. And he was now permitted to manifest in her body as healer. So I took that and I told the Lord all day long, drugged up, drunk as I could be, with my son. Now, I couldn't even get out of bed by myself. And my son had to walk me 10 times a day to keep me alive. Doctor said if I just laid there, I would go. So my son would pull me out of bed and all day long, drunk as I could be, I would tell the Lord, I open prison doors. I open prison doors. I allow you. I don't know what prison, I don't know what doors they were that kept you, that blocked this thing. But in Jesus' name, you do live. I know you live in every cell of my body. You live in my colon and all my digestive system, and I permit you to be my healer. I give you the, I choose. You are my healer. There is nothing blocking it. There is nothing blocking it. So I go to sleep. I have a sore throat because I've been mumbling around all day long. And I cry myself to sleep that night. And I remember I said to the Lord that night with hot tears running down my cheeks. I said, Lord, I ask you to help me this morning when I woke up. If you just send somebody, please, Jesus, I need help. After I'd said that all day long. Of course, cut me a little slack. I was doped up really bad, you know. And I went to sleep. And you know how God is so precious that he meets us where we're at.
Yes.
You know, he does. He gets it. He understands. Things are hard. Things get hard, you know. You know, so I go to sleep and my phone rings. And this is what it said. LaDonna, this is your pastor, John Kilpatrick, and God told me to call you and tell you that you're coming out of that bed. And then he said, and out of that hospital. And then he said, it is your time. He said, today you hit breakthrough. Wow. And he said, this next statement, this is really good, this next thing he said, you might not feel it, and you might not know it, but you hit it. You know, you might not felt it when you were getting ready for church today, or even driving here. You might have got into a fight with somebody in the car, but you hit it. You hit it today. You hit breakthrough when you came to this service today. Because this is it. This is your time. This is your day. You're coming out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that a healing presence is here. A miracle-working presence is here. Now I'll tell you. I got on the phone. I started calling my family and telling them it was late at night, but I just started calling everybody. Oh, my God, Pastor Kilpatrick, this is it. I got my prophecy. This is it. I got my word. You know what? You got your word. You ought to hold on to it. Right. You know, you ought to take this word and run with it. I did. I will tell you. This is the situation. I grabbed a hold of that word like a hungry dog grabbed a hold of a steak. I grabbed a hold of it, and I kept it, and I told everybody, even my doctors and my nurses. When the nurses came in to take care of me in the middle of the night, I told them, my pastor called. He told me, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be well. I'm not going to die. They're not going to send me to hospice tomorrow. You know what? My blood pressure was the same. I still weighed the same. Everything was the same, except I had the word. Nothing, you know, in those first few hours, everything was the same. But I had a hold of that word. Now, I'm not saying that for you. Today, Jesus' presence of God is so strong here. It's healing, miracle-working power. You watch, you're going to leave without symptoms. You'll leave without them today. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, 4 days later, I was dismissed from the hospital. Yes, the next morning, x-rays were different. Things started changing immediately. Sometimes the Lord is working in places you cannot see.
Right.
You see, you just have to hold on to his word on some things.
Yes.
So when I went back to church, at our church, Pastor Kilpatrick's church is really big. And we have reserved seating up here for staff and those of us like that need to be up close for some reason or other. And so I had my chair with my name on it. And as the time went on, the second week, the usher didn't recognize me. I gained so much weight and looked so much different. The third week, again, he did not recognize me. The fourth week, he did not. I was getting so well, so fast. The eighth week, I got on a plane and went to Australia to minister. I mean, the doctors have been absolutely shocked. Jesus is living in every cell of your body. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. There were eight lifelong issues that I should still be suffering. Not one stuck. Not one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Actually, my dear, the dear elderly doctor that the Lord gave me in Alabama gave me my six-week checkup and decided to go on to heaven. So I outlived the doctor, you know? And he wasn't that much older than me either, so there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let's get in his presence with this knowledge, okay? I'm going to start playing my violin. Since I was 12 years old, when I played the first note in church, lady got healed. Wasn't a big surprise to me. I mean, I was in the church where the pastor was a traveling companion, Smith Wigglesworth. We always got miracles in church, no matter what you were doing, all right? But then I began to attach it, understand that the Lord had put a gift in the music that I play. So I'm going to start playing and my violin. And, you know, if it's something upbeat, you ought to dance. You ought to just dance off whatever's going on with you. You ought to just do it. But if it's worshipful, and I know what I'm going to play right now, it's going to be worshipful. You just should worship him with everything you got. We found something out today. Yes. He lives in every cell of our bodies. He lives in every amazing, beautiful cell of your body. And now, you decide. You make the choice to whatever was blocking. You know, maybe you heard that part at the beginning, and maybe you just needed to forgive somebody. Maybe that's what opened prison doors. Maybe you were just afraid, but now you know. You've heard the word on it. Christ liveth in you. You've heard the word on it. You know. You know, it's a simple fact. You've accepted him. You know he lives in you. But now he lives in every cell. You make a conscious decision to receive his miracle-working power. When I was turning around, the Lord told me there is somebody that's watching by live streaming that's been suffering with vertigo, and he just set you free. You will be able. It's never going to come back. It's just not going to come back. It's something else. You know, when I was going through this battle, the devil from the first day said, "Look what God let happen to you. Jesus doesn't love you like you thought he did. You always talked about the love of God. Well, look at you now. What do you think? God doesn't love you like you thought he did." Well, it took a few days. Yeah, I didn't play my violin for months. I wasn't able to because my hands were shaking, and I wasn't strong enough to barely stand up on myself. So when I was able to, once the healing took place, that miracle took place, and I went home, about 10 days, I was strong enough to stand up. And I knew the morning I woke up, the day my hands were steady, I knew I was going to do. I was going to open that violin case, and I was going to get it out. And I got in my bathrobe. I got up in my bedroom, and I said, "All right, devil, I want you to hear this one. I want you to hear this song." And now, those of you, you've really been going through it. I mean, you're depressed, and you're depressed to the point of suicide that you thought about it. You've been starting to think about it. It's not just one person. You know, a lot of times when you get depressed, it's like all about me. Of course, a lot of us are like that. It's like all of that. This is when you get sick, and it takes your eyes off your destiny. It turns things in this way instead of to your destiny, you know. But there's people here this morning, you're fighting depression to the point of thinking about, you just wish it was over. So I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus does love you. Yes, he does. He does love you. He's got big plans for you. Wow, bigger than you ever. You know what I'm going to get to do in 30 days? I'm playing my violin to Vatican leaders in Rome. Jesus, he loves you. He's got big plans for you, too. He didn't just have big plans for me. He's got, I would have never thought. If you'd come in my hospital room that day when my son was trying to figure out what hospice to send me to and tell me that that was going to happen in 30 days from now, that like 7 years later, that I'd be going to Rome, oh, my goodness, praise God. Praise God. One of those Vatican leaders, he's worked with the Vatican for 40 years, was healed under my ministry, and his wife was healed. Now, oh, that's why the Lord wanted me to tell that. His wife had just had surgery for cancer. Her colon had just been removed for cancer. And she was still very, very, very sick. But she was watching on Skype. Mateo opened his computer, and she watched on Skype, and from that day, she was healed. Be healed. Be healed. Those of you that are watching, just be healed. Be healed. And if you're watching and you're discouraged and you've been thinking about committing suicide, you just be healed right now. Jesus loves you. Yes, he does. He loves you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you literally today cancel doctor's reports that have given death sentences to us and our loved ones. We cancel those with the word of God. I abort evil assignments against those of you that have been suffering from depression and have thought about ending your life. It's over. Today you hit your breakthrough. Today you hit your breakthrough. This is your day and this is your time. Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now I'm not going to ask you to say anything, so don't worry about it. But I want those of you to start standing that have literally experienced the healing power of Jesus today. I'm not going to ask you to say your name. I'm not going to ask you to come up and give a testimony. But if you have felt the healing power of Jesus and saturating you, beginning to change things that you know, even in your mind and thinking, would you just start to stand up now? Would you just start standing? Thank you, Jesus. 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 We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you and worship you, Lord. Now, those of you that still you're asking him to manifest healing in your body, you just continue to soak in his presence. And you know that today was your day of breakthrough. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You might need to dance a little bit before I get finished with this song to worship him. This music says in Hebrew, I bring you peace. Sometimes cells in your body, you need peace. You need peace in your thoughts. You need peace in your life. There's been so many bad reports. So I thank you, Lord Jesus, for peace. Because you give peace like no one else does. He literally dwells in every cell of your body. He's right there, that one that you felt like you needed so much. You do need him. You need him more than you need anything. Peace, peace. See if you can find it. Old injuries, old back injuries, neck, shoulder injuries, they're gone. The Lord just told me he's healing old neck, back, knees, hips. You know, you might as well just cancel that knee surgery, the hip and the knee surgeries that you were planning on having, because the doctor's going to cancel them anyway. Amen. Jesus is your miracle worker. Amen. He truly, truly lives in every cell of your body. Amen. How you should love him. We should spend more time with him. Yes. We should be more careful with our lives. Yes. We should. We should choose to obey his word much more devotedly. He is so beautiful. Yes. He is so beautiful. So now, let's celebrate what the Lord has accomplished today. I'm going to play...